Casey Corcoran Podcast.
I am 16, going on 17. I know that I'm naive. Fellows I meet may tell me I'm sweet and will.
Julia. You are 16, going on 17, fellas will fall in line.
Eager young lads and roues and cads
will offer you food and wine. Totally unprepared are you
to face a world of men.
Timid and shy and scared are you
of things beyond my ken.
You need someone older and wiser telling you what to do.
You are 17,
going on 18. I'll take care.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, April 3rd, 2023. I got to find something to count down. I'm so used to counting down the days to opening day, and I have nothing to count down. But I'll figure something out. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com. I'm so glad it is April 3rd and not April 1st. Somebody's got to do something about April Fool's Day. You know, it was bad enough when somebody in the office would pull some shit, and now half people don't even go to the office anymore, so everything has moved to the internet and to social media. And you're sort of sitting there, you're just, you know, you're sort of waking up on Saturday morning, hey, let me see what's going on. You go to Facebook or whatever it is, and you start looking, and you're like, oh my God, holy shit, oh my God, holy shit. And maybe you even repost some of the oh my God, holy shit stuff until you realize, wait a minute, I think I've been had. Now, it's not just people, it's like entire corporations, you know, like McDonald's and stuff like that. Even they're putting up goofy stuff. Although I will say the Battle Hawks really got away with one because they announced that they were moving the team to Los Angeles. And people were like, no, no, this can't keep happening. It's like, oh, wait a minute, April Fool's Day. It got to the point in the late, 2009 in there, which is the last time I started going into, work at a St. Louis FM radio station. The big company started posting preemptive emails to all the employees going, No April Fool's Day stunts or practical jokes can be executed without our previous approval, which was a fancy way of saying, don't do it. It goes back to a thing that ended up in a big lawsuit and a large settlement. It was a radio station in Florida that said they were giving away a Toyota. And, you know, you want to win the Toyota? Here you go. You do this, you do that. And people did all this goofy stuff trying to compete for the chance to be chosen to win the Toyota. And some woman eventually is told, you win the Toyota. And it turned out to be a Toyota, all right. A Toyota. It was a Star Wars action figure of Yoda. She, the winner, was not amused and filed a lawsuit. And so, like I said, that got around the business all over the country, and people were finally, all right, nobody does anything unless we approve it. And this even goes back to, I've told this story a million times before, because the anniversary was, I think it was over the weekend. I'd been divorced in 1999, and in 2000, I met a young woman, and she did not tell people that she was seeing me. She was like 3-4 months into the relationship and just did not feel that it was a good idea to tell people who it was that she was seeing. And all of her girlfriends were like, you know, you're never around anymore. You're always with, we know you're with somebody. And so she finally spilled the beans and told her girlfriends that it was me. They did not have a, shall we say, upbeat response to this news. And the one woman said, oh, he's such an asshole. Oh my God, how can you do this? Blah, blah. You know what he did? You know what he did? He went to the top of the arch and started throwing TVs and stereos off the top of the arch and told people down below, if you catch it, you can keep it. Oh my God, he's such an asshole. Somebody could have been hurt. There's only three things wrong with that story. Number one, it was an April Fool's bit by a competing radio station. It wasn't even me. It was Smash who did it. That's number one. Number two, it was an April Fool's Day joke. They said they were broadcasting live from the top of the arch and throwing stuff off the top of the arch, and if you caught it, you could keep it. And number three, it's a 1973, I believe it is, Monty Python bit. Catch it and you keep it. And that was the whole thing. So they just really sort of stole the bit and put it on the air, figuring who's going to remember that Monty Python did this, you know, 40 years ago. But I would say the most important element to that story is, it wasn't even me! Smash and I still laugh about it to this day. Oh, I hated me such an asshole. And how about a little music on a Monday morning? What do you say?
I'm so indicted, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to go to jail, and I don't like it. I'm so indicted, and I just can't hide it. I know. I am so screwed.
Speaking of being screwed, I put up a picture this morning that you may have seen on social media. So yesterday afternoon, well, actually, it was yesterday morning. We had a 9 o'clock start time, and I showed up to play for my brand new team. All right, so this is I didn't even meet these guys. I'd known them, they didn't know me, and all I know is we're playing the number one team in the league. So I played the first 6 innings at second base, made some good plays, got on base twice. We're still getting beat, like, I don't think it was like 6 or 7 to 1, like that. And in the 7th inning, they're like, okay, we're going to make some pitching changes here. And the other side says, oh, we're going to make pitching changes too. Pitching for the Nighthawks, that was our opposition, a young man by the name of Mark Witten, as in hard-hitting Mark Witten. Yes, that one, the guy who hit the 4 home runs in one game against Cincinnati back in 1993. He's now pitching for the other side, and I'm now pitching for our side. And it turns out this team was like a semi-pro team. They shouldn't really even be in our league. Our league is a bunch of broken down, brittle boned old guys just out there still playing baseball because we love it and because it's good to get some fresh air, some sunshine, and move your body around and play a game that you've been playing since you were a kid. And that's really the spirit of the whole thing. But these guys, you know, there's always one. There's always one team in every league. I don't care what league you're talking about. that's taking things maybe a little bit too seriously and violating the spirit of what the league is really supposed to be. You know, if you want to put together a semi-pro team and go play other semi-pro teams, great. But yesterday, I mean, it was so lopsided. It felt like, remember when you were little and you would like try to play against your dad? And I'm not used to getting shelled like that. I pitched two innings and I gave up six runs. I'm not used to that. It's, you know, sort of like not a fair fight. Although when Witten came up, I'm thinking to myself, oh, Jesus, I already had a concussion from a line drive back at the face. That happened in 2019. You might remember that. I put the pictures up of all the damage to my face and my chin especially, and I was goofy for a month after that. You get a concussion, line drive. All the years I've been pitching, I never even had a close call, but in 2019 when I was playing in St. Louis out there in Maryland Heights, bam. It. I don't know, to this day, I don't really even know how it happened because I'm a pretty good defensive pitcher. You get that glove up, you know, you get that glove up, but this guy hit the thing right on the screws. And I think it was probably knuckling. And if you've ever been, particularly in the infield, if you ever, even softball, this happens in softball all the time, where somebody hits the thing right on the screws and it comes at you and it's knuckling. And I've seen people get hit right in the head because they put their glove at chest level. By the time the ball gets to them, it's, you know, it's at eye level. So I guess that's how it happened. But, man, they had a couple of comebackers in that game yesterday. It was like, get me the hell out of here. So you're standing out there on the pitching rubber 60 feet 6 inches away from Mark fucking Witten and start thinking to yourself, I wonder if my will has been updated. I don't know. Well, turns out I got him to ground out to second. So I have that one moral victory. So I trust your weekend was better. Maybe it was. Up until 60 minutes last night when Leslie Stahl delighted us with a nice long interview with Marjorie Taylor Greene. And this is my favorite part of the interview because it sort of started out sort of nice. They were being really nice to each other, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who usually has a scowl on her face, was smiling, and Leslie was smiling at her, and they were both really getting along, and you're like, okay, well, yeah, I guess it's okay. You know, sit her down, nice, calm environment, not a bunch of vitriol, and just say, okay, here's some of the stuff you say, here's some of the stuff you do, let's talk about it. And you're like, all right, I'll watch this, because I want to see if she shows any sort of humanity when she's not on a stage just trying to rile up her base in Trump's base. She's trying to be his running mate for the election coming up in 2024. Let's see if it's a different environment, if she turns out to be a little different. And it turns out this point in the interview is right when things started to get tense between the two of them. And this one is everybody's favorite. It was on social media and it was posted with my name on it, but oh no. I didn't write it.
Shortly after she arrived in Washington, the Democratic-led House ousted her from her committees because of her past endorsement of violence against some Democratic leaders and her history of embracing QAnon that she explained in a speech on the House floor.
I stumbled across something, and this was at the end of 2017, called QAnon. I was allowed to believe things that weren't true, and that is absolutely what I regret.
Well, I apologize to my colleagues. I think apologies are important.
Okay, did you ever apologize to Nancy Pelosi about the bullet to her head?
I didn't say that, so I don't need to apologize for words that weren't mine.
Didn't you like it?
Other people also ran my social media. I don't think I did that.
Are you saying that you don't stand by what's on your social media?
Well, of course I stand for what's on my social media, but at times you're not always in control. We have all kinds of people that work on our social media.
Did you apologize for your position on Parkland, Florida?
What was my position on Parkland, Florida?
That it was a false flag?
I don't know
flag.
If you actually have my position. No, I never said Parkland was a false
Did
flag.
You?
No, I've never said that. School shootings are horrible.
Now, I got to interrupt you because you're just listening to the audio. You see the show one by one here as Marjorie Taylor Greene is denying having said things that Leslie Stahl is bringing to her attention. They put up the slide, the picture, the screenshot of Marjorie Taylor Greene's Twitter account, showing her name and showing exactly what she said, which are all the things that Leslie Stahl is calling her on. It's right there to see. And Marjorie Taylor Greene's denying saying it.
I don't think it's anything to joke about.
We fact-checked before I got to this interview.
Have you fact-checked all my statements from kindergarten through 12th grade and in college?
See, now this is an attempt at diversion. Leslie Stahl's got her backed into a corner. She's got the screenshots of the stuff that Marjorie Taylor Greene said. Her name is on them. She's like, what about it there, MTG? And so she changes the subject, talking about, well, you just heard it.
And as I've paid my taxes and never broken a law, and I got a few speeding tickets. Do we need to talk about those too? Because I think where you're going down is the same attacks that people have attacked me with over and over and over.
Well, if this is what you're known for, I think it's good that you're responding to the charges.
I think it's a legitimate thing for us to constantly focus on it, but never focus on anything good about me.
Let me button this up and we'll move on. You want to bring the Republican Party closer to your views. You want to bring the country closer to your views. You've said that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here are some of the things you've said. That America should have a Christian government, that abortion should be banned nationally, that you want to defund the FBI, yes? You want immigration to stop for 4 years. You've said those things, correct?
Oh yeah, these are some of my views.
The Constitution, the very First Amendment, prohibits having a religion in the government.
Yet the Founding Fathers quoted the Bible constantly and were driven by their faith.
So, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a victim of her own words, and in typical style, just deny, deny, deny. The screenshots are right there. I didn't say that. Somebody else wrote that. Perhaps this would be a good time to discuss weather, because what is shaping up for St. Louis tomorrow night, this being late Tuesday afternoon and into Tuesday night, and this becomes important, too, because there's a Cardinal game scheduled for tomorrow night. Weather all over the road. I mean, it's warm. And as enjoyable as that may be, that's what's fueling the fire here, I guess you would say. Tomorrow, late afternoon, and especially tomorrow night, a scenario that is almost identical to what happened on Friday across the Midwest is shaping up. And by the way, I had to put a woman in her place last night. Oh, I hate the weather, man. They're always wrong. I go, well, you know, that's what's... Oh, and you can't predict tornadoes. It's like, all right, what you can do is you can predict conditions being right for tornadoes. And as early as Monday last week, they were saying, watch out, because Thursday night, Friday, somewhere like right in there, this swath across the Midwest, and they showed one major swath going just about 200-300 miles north of St. Louis, and another one about 200 miles south of St. Louis. That's what they said the hot spots were. And that's exactly where the whole thing happened. And oh, by the way, there were 100 tornadoes that night. 100. And I know it's fun. It's just really fun to beat up on the weather guys and to say they don't know what they're doing and they're always wrong. And the truth of the matter is they're more right than they are wrong. And especially when you can predict something like this 3, 4, 5 days in advance. And just, I mean, they absolutely nailed it on Thursday in our immediate region. And then as it went across the country on Friday, they were right there. So let's see what happens tomorrow night. Oh, back to opening day for just a minute. A lot of you observed this, and I want to make a big deal out of it because I did mention this last year when the story about Tony La Russa first surfaced, that he has an ailment that has a very low recovery rate. The report did not look good to me at all. And in fact, for the first time probably ever, I think, Tony La Russa was not in the red jacket and not on the field prior to the game the other night. And oh, by the way, either was Mike Shannon. And I don't know anything about Tony La Russa's condition other than to say I read the report and it just didn't look very good. And then I looked the actual ailment up. And like I said, it has a very low rate of recuperation. And as far as Mike Shannon, the only thing I can tell you is you sort of hear things. You know, you hear things, you hear it once, and you're like, nah, it could be anything. Then you hear it again. Then you hear it a third time, and you're like, there could be something to this. But the story we get is that he's not doing particularly well. But like I said, I have no idea. I'm just telling you the story that seems to be going around. By the way, I guess it was maybe a week, 10 days ago, I posted a picture on my Facebook page, The Show Grind with J.C. Corcoran, a picture that I've had in my possession for probably, oh, I don't know, 15 years. And it's an aerial shot of two F-15s just as they're getting ready to go over the old Bush Stadium. And the more I looked at it, I just kept looking at it. I'm looking at the shadows, and the shadows, I'm not sure if they're really matching up. And it just looks like a classic case of a really good Photoshopping job. Because I started looking at it more, and it's like, well, what would have had to happen is that a plane with a really, really good photographer would have had to be right over the top of Bush Stadium at exactly the moment that these two F-15s were getting ready to go over Bush Stadium. And he would have to, he had one shot basically to get the picture, and he would have had to do all of that. Or she would have had to do all that. It just seems the odds against something like that working were pretty small. And so I just took this thing and I stuffed it away. And I was like, oh, it's a nice picture and everything, but it's not real. I'm sitting in a barbecue place on Friday night. And I'm at the bar because I'm waiting for some carryout to take back to my daughter who wanted some barbecue. So I'm sitting there. It's a Friday night. A very nice couple sitting next to me. A guy who appears to be, probably early 60s. But just, I don't know, sort of fit, I guess you would say. And the woman next to him, also in really, really good shape. Long story made short, guy's in the Air Force and works out of, or did work out of, I think he said North Carolina. And somehow the discussion of flyovers comes up, and we start talking about the various situations where you have a jet or a bunch of jets go over the top of the Super Bowl, the World Series, or whatever, right at the end of the Star Spangled Banner. The guy looks at me and goes, yeah, that was us. I'm like, what do you mean it was you? You're in North Carolina. Wait a minute, I don't get it. They're like, yeah, that was our squadron. They would bring us in from North Carolina to do these flyovers. We do them all the time. And I'm like, Wait a minute. I know it's a small world and everything, but this is ridiculous. So, of course, the first thing I do is I whip out my phone and I look for that picture and I find it and I show it to him. And he goes, oh, yeah, that was us. This is the guy who did the flyovers at Busch Stadium. And he was down on the Florida Keys, and he met this gal in the Keys, but she was from Tampa. So he eventually moved to Tampa, and they're living together and having a swell old time. When they say small world, sometimes they're not kidding. I would like to address the restaurant people of our community. This happens everywhere and I don't get it. So here's my complaint. If I order a dish, like in this particular case, a pasta dish with shrimp, and now the big bowl arrives, and you pick up your knife and you start moving things around. You're like, look at the size of the... They left the tails on. I don't get it. Why are the tails still on the shrimp? Because it leaves you with two choices. Either you have to use your knife and cut off the tail, but inside that tail, as you know, is a lot of shrimp and a lot of really, really tender part of the shrimp. You're just cutting that off now because you have to cut off the tail, because your only other option is to reach in there with your fingers and pull the tails off. You know, you do a little crack and then the pull and the whole thing. And then you preserve all of that shrimp meat that's inside that tail, but your hands are full of pasta sauce or butter and garlic or whatever it is. So what's the point? You either want me to waste food or work, sit there at my table and get my fingers all messed up just because you decided to leave the tails on the shrimp for some sort of aesthetic purposes? I'm going to write to my congressman. Who is my congressman? We had another country music award show last night, and they've started doing this, and I'm not sure I like it, not sure I understand it, but what they're doing is they're bringing in rockers to sing with country people. And sort of like, mixing all this together. Last night they had the remaining members of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and it was a Skynyrd tribute, and they had Paul Rodgers Bad Company singing. Also, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. Slash was playing away. Warren Haynes on guitar. Leanne Rimes and Wynonna Judd joining in as the Honkettes. And they're playing a medley of Lynyrd Skynyrd songs. All right, so basketball will be over as of tonight. UConn against San Diego State. Oh, and one more thing about about April Fool's jokes. So right before weekend update, I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he got away with it. But apparently Colin Jost was still backstage, and Michael Che comes out, and during the commercial says to the crowd, all right, it's April Fool's Day. We're going to pull a joke on Colin. Don't laugh at any of his jokes. Now, what I'm going to do is maybe after a minute or two of this, after he bombs with every joke, then I'll tell him what we did. But he's got like the first four stories on Weekend Update. Don't laugh at anything. And the audience went along with it. And it was hilarious, not so much when it was happening, but when they finally told Colin Jost what was going on, and he just almost collapsed because he's like, oh my God, I'm like on the verge of a heart attack. I'm sweating bullets. I'm soaking wet. I'm up here telling jokes and nobody's even responding. And then he just started laughing hysterically, almost to the point where he couldn't even control himself anymore. Those two guys, and there have been a lot of Weekend Update teams that I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. I enjoyed Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon. Back in the day when he was funny, I liked Dennis Miller. Norm Macdonald was, that was a remarkable run for him because Norm didn't care if you thought the joke was funny. He cared if he thought the joke was funny. And a lot of times he would deliver stuff and just like no reaction from the crowd, but he seemed to be having a great time. Although he had one of the great stories of all time on Weekend Update. It was a story about a guy who was working the all-night desk at some cheap hotel somewhere, and a guy comes in and tries to rob him, and the robbery attempt goes awry. The perpetrator pulls out a gun and shoots the guy. The bullet hits a knife that the guy behind the front desk has in his shirt pocket, ricochets off, and saves his life. And Norm was like, eh, you know, you live in a violent society when people are getting shot in the knife. Great joke. Great joke. Late night tonight, Jimmy Fallon's got Michelle Williams and John Stamos, Stephen A. Smith, and Dylan McDermott, along with the cast of Ted Lasso, with Colbert, and Seth Meyers as Rob Lowe. Birthdays today, Kobe Smulders from How I Met Your Mother, 41. Adam Scott from Parks and Recreation, 50. Jenny Garth from Downstate, Illinois, as a matter of fact, 51. Eddie Murphy, 62. David Hyde Pierce, 64. Alec Baldwin, 65. Tony Orlando, hopefully near death, at 79. And Wayne Newton, 81. People frequently ask me, what is your all-time favorite movie of all time? And my answer has been the same now for, I don't know, about 40 years. 45 years ago, 1978, at the 50th Academy Awards, Woody Allen wins Best Director for Annie Hall. Beat out Steven Spielberg for Close Encounters and George Lucas for Star Wars. Annie Hall also won Best Picture, Diane Keaton Best Actress. Richard Dreyfuss won Best Actor for The Goodbye Girl. John Williams, Best Original Score for Star Wars. The Unabomber, on this date in 1996, arrested between 78 and 95. He sent 16 mail bombs across the country, killing 3 people, wounding 23. He's serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole. He grew up about 2 miles from my high school girlfriend and maybe 5 miles from my high school. And people forget it was his own family that turned him in. MC Hammer filed for bankruptcy 27 years ago, this date 1996. They said, MC, you only have $25,000 left to your name and you can't touch this. And the first iPad, the first iPad released by Apple on this date 13 years ago. Our best belated birthday wishes go to the lovely Lori Mack, who had a birthday over the weekend. Happy birthday, beautiful. And Disney has started to enact its plan to lay off 7,000 1,000 workers. As of this morning, 75 of the 101 Dalmatians have filed for unemployment. And with that, the J.C. Quarterman podcast for Monday, April 3rd, 2023 is in the can. We are here every weekday morning right about 11 o'clock. You can email me, JC at jconline.com. The Showgram with J.C. Quarterman on Facebook. You hear that little noise in the background? You hear that little noise? That is the crank. And we are starting to turn the crank on the new radio station. That's how close we are. Details coming as soon as they're available. In the meantime, you have yourself a great day. We beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Quarterman Podcast.